You don't have to believe any of this, but if you use it, you'll see that it's true. So I'm going to say the lesson for today just for a minute. There's nothing to fear. I'm going to say that for about a minute, and then I got a lot of want to cover today, so I'm going to go ahead and jump in, okay?
Good.
Thanks for coming out. Thanks for coming out. I appreciate that. Really. You'd be amazed at the power of appreciation. It's so funny to study so many years. You know, I've been studying the truth. I got into the truth when I was 23. And I'm ugly now. And now I'm 24. And as you can tell, it's been an intense journey. Mostly, and I'm just going to tell you all that, it's really been mostly fun. You know, had some of the most incredible experiences of meeting incredible people the once I got on the path of knowledge. And also when those things that would come along that would be frightening, like when loved ones would make their transition and other things that would happen, because I had the truth, I was able to handle it better than most of the people I saw around me and how they were dealing with it. So it wasn't like I wasn't having the same experiences as everybody else in the world. What I noticed that was different was the way I was handling it. And that's what the truth teaches you. Teaches you new ways of handling the stuff that you always been dealing with, so that you can let some new stuff in that's better than anything you can imagine. Okay. The first step to doing that is realizing that you don't know how to do it.
Right. We wouldn't be here if we knew.
Bouncer, her and her partner. They both. So don't any of y'all get healed and happy too fast so I can continue to have a class and pay my bills. I support your misery for as long as possible.
Wow.
The Course says, no one with a personal investment is a reliable witness. No one with a personal investment is a reliable witness. No one with a personal investment is a reliable witness. You know what I'm saying? If you were attached to me being around you all the time, would you be the person that I'd ask, should I take a job out of town? No, you got a personal investment, so you're not going to be. That's why people get most of their honest therapy on airplanes. You know, because you don't have any personal investment in the person sitting next to you. You don't know if you'll ever see them again. And so you all can give each other real honest assessments of what's going on. You know, but in your special relationships, the fear of loss can come up, which makes you afraid to be as open as you like to be because you're afraid you might lose the person or offend the person in some way. So usually the person who experiences us the least open and honest is actually the one that's most special to us. You know? You know, if I'm walking down the street, if I'm walking down the street with my male buddy, and then I see an attractive woman pass by, and I go, you know, wow, isn't she beautiful? Isn't she gorgeous? Blah, 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 blah. And he'll say, yeah, right. That's right. That's cool. And we keep on talking. But if you were your special mate. See what I'm saying? So the special person actually sees the part of you that's most thought about before you express it. Sometimes the least spontaneous self. The one that's kind of checking out the result of what it's going to say before it does it. So what I want then is a relationship in which I have no fear of the person that I'm with and no fear of losing that person. That's what I want. I reduce it to, I want fearless relationships. Because I can fool myself about most things, but one thing that's hardest for me to fool myself about is how I feel. I can tell myself anything. I can give myself justification. I can say it's for my own best interest to feel this pain, but I'm still saying what I'm feeling right now is pain. I'm going to love myself more through my pain. So the one right use of judgment is feelings. Because intellectually, you can tell yourself anything, and you can rationalize anything, and you can talk yourself in and out of anything. But you know how you feel. So there's nothing to fear. 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 Okay? There's nothing to fear. So I'm going to say that for about a minute. Take a breath. There is nothing to fear. 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 There is nothing to fear.
If you keep saying that to my whoever don't mind, but I'm going to do a little chorus rap. The idea for today simply states a fact. It's not a fact to those who believe in their illusions, but illusions are not facts. Your illusions are not facts. Illusions are not facts. Illusions are not facts. In truth, there is nothing to fear. It is very easy to recognize that there's nothing to fear. But it's very difficult to recognize that there's nothing to fear to those who want their fears to be true. Idea as often as possible. Really, be the idea as much as possible. Really, repeat the idea as much as possible. There is nothing to fear. There is nothing to fear. Now, you can use this lesson with your eyes open. You can use this lesson with your eyes closed. You can say it slow. Say it fast, but it is important to say it immediately should anything disturb your peace of mind. You say, the instant you are willing nothing to fear.
I got an extra chakra, my boogie chakra.
Oh, Lord, I have muscle.
So glad I was born one of them. Today, I'm gonna jump around. In the first place, I'm gonna jump is on page 166. And this is called the correction of error, the correction of mistakes. Your ego is, the Course says your ego is nothing but your idea of yourself as a separate self. Your ego is nothing but the you who you think you are. The Course says your ego is just the part of you that can be afraid. The part of you that judges is the ego. So everybody got that? So in other words, when I come into the room, the part of me that has an opinion about all of you, that's my ego. The part of me that thinks there's a you and there's a me, that's my ego. The part of me that thinks I could distrust or be afraid and sometimes love, that's my ego. The part of me that thinks it is a body and this sweater and pants, that's the ego. The ego is the part of you that thinks you're separate from everything. The ego is the part of you that thinks you're separate from everything and different from everything. The ego is the part of you that you have identified with as being yourself probably since the day you were born, because from the day you were born, you were probably taught to emphasize your difference, your separateness, your uniqueness, your own personality, your own style, your own look, your own opinions. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the ego. That's the ego. The one that put on the pants this morning, that's the ego. The one that put on the clothes, that's the ego. The one that's wondering about how you're going to pay your bills, that's the ego. The one that's looking for the soulmate, that's the ego. The one that gets depressed and sad, sometimes happy depending on how well things go the way you want it to go, that is the ego. The part that doesn't remember God and thinks it's on its own and trying to figure out everything on its own, trying to form a few little special relationships with a few people that maybe it feels like it's some trust established in, that's the ego. The you that thinks it can get sick, have a disease, the you that thinks it's going to die one day, that's the ego. So when I heard that,
You aren't stressed though, right?
Do what you dress? Well,
ego?
Yeah.
You don't know about that. I know.
No birthday suits.
Okay.
I've done birthday suits. What usually happens when people express themselves freely and freer than they ever have, or they go beyond their edge, like you say, you know, everybody gets naked. Even if they had the best time in the world, we think we have to pay for any pleasure with pain. So then we come right behind that, and then we start judging it, we start criticizing it, we start condemning it, then we start projecting, and, you know, what did that guy do to me? That's a horrible thing, but you hear what happened. You know, the truth is we're all naked under our clothes. And barring some very unusual circumstance, we got the same things under our clothes in different dimensions and colors. Hopefully your dimension is like my So to me, it's the only way we can make a big deal out of the body is to hide it. Because then you get a chance to get excited about the unveiling of it in some way. So, you know, we all kind of make ourselves get excited about what all of us have. You ever have a pun, you know. So I found in my spiritual journey that there's nothing that tends to make people act more crazy than the issues around the body. So that's why I kind of stay away from it now with people who feel guilt. of people who feel guilty can't have pleasurable experiences with the body without punishing themselves or punishing somebody else or creating some kind of drama. They don't know how to enjoy the body without drama because they feel guilty, so they think that every pleasure they have to turn around and give themselves some kind of drama and pain to pay for it. Okay. So now you know what the ego is? Based on the course that you don't have to believe. Okay, because that's very important for you to get the first three paragraphs I'm about to share with you from the correction of error. Because this is about how mistakes are really corrected from a course perspective. The alertness of the ego to the errors of other egos is not the kind of vigilance the Holy Spirit would have you maintain. The Holy Spirit, let's get that right. Okay, I explained the ego, let me explain the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the part of you that is totally aware of the oneness and the truth and the love and the spirit and is sane. It knows its connection with God. It's the part of you that loves you, that only loves, that has the right perception, correct perception. It's the part of you that's free. It's the part of you that knows what the truth is as much as the ego doesn't know. Now, right now, we've been identifying with our ego, so we're much more in tune with our human separate identity. And when I talk about your spiritual, unlimited, Holy Spirit, right, powerful identity, that would be the one that seems like I'm talking about something you've got to try to create or imagine yourself to be one day or to get yourself cleared up enough so that you can know that part of you.
Yeah.
But what I'm telling you is that it's the only part of you that's real, and it's the part of you that brought you to the class. Because the part of you that wants to suffer would never bring you anywhere where somebody was going to tell you that you're loving and lovable and you deserve to be happy and you're innocent. The part of you that doesn't like you doesn't bring you around people who say you're spectacular. So if you want any proof that the Holy Spirit is in you, you're sitting up here listening to me is all the proof you need because you wouldn't have brought you here. The you that criticizes you, the you that judges you, the you that tells you you're not enough and you'll never, that you doesn't bring you around somebody that says you are spectacular.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's all the proof we need, that there's another part of us that wants us to hear the loving thoughts.
Yeah.
Now, the truth is, then my ego, because to me it's easier for me to act a lot of this out than to try to explain it. So I'm going to be the Holy Spirit and the ego. Okay? Now, so the alertness of the ego to the errors, in other words, I think that my job is to be as alert as I can possibly be to the mistakes that everybody else is making.
Yeah.
Okay, my job is to be on the lookout for everybody else's mistakes. Dr. Kuhl says, the alertness of my ego to the errors of other egos. That's not the kind of vigilance that your right mind, which is God, wants you to maintain. So that's message number one. I'm not asking you to be alert to everybody else's problem, everybody else's flaw, everybody else's wrong. I'm not asking you to be alert to that. Then it says, your ego is critical in terms of the kind of sense the ego stands for. So if according to my sense, if you wear a red vest, it means that something is wrong with you, then I'm judging you according to the sense I stand for. And that's what all of us are doing to each other. We all got what we think of as our sense and what makes sense. And then we judge each other in terms of our sense. What I think is right, what I think is wrong, what I think is true, what I think is false. The Course says, now, your ego understands this kind of sense. Now, you understand the kind of sense that you have, but the Course says, to the Holy Spirit, don't nothing you do make no sense at all. The Course says, from a God perspective, there's nothing that we do that makes any sense at all. There's nothing that we do that makes any sense at all to the right man. To anybody that's sane, to any part of you that's loving, there's not anything that a fearful mind does that makes any sense at all. So from a spiritual perspective, the Course is saying, I know how to break it to you, but to God, you don't make no sense at all. But you're cute. So as long as you keep your mouth closed, you have people like the strong silent types. You won't know how crazy I am if I never open my mouth and look good. Okay, you got me with the first paragraph? And I'll say it again. To God, well, we don't make no sense at all. The fearful mind, which is a separate mind, that's the ego, the Course says the separate mind doesn't make any sense at all. If we're all one and we are all united, and we're all part of the same one, whatever it is, then that's the truth, right? So that's like trying to navigate around the world from the perspective that the world is round. That's the right perspective, that we are unified, that we are one. And all decisions coming out of that is coming from an accurate perception, like the world is round. Okay, but if you're sitting up here and you think you're separate from everybody, and you think you're really and truly not joined, we are not one, then you're navigating from the perspective that the world is flat. So it doesn't make any difference what decisions you make coming. Like, for instance, if I was to start making my decisions today from the perspective that I was a white woman, then it wouldn't make any difference what choices I made based on that premise. All of them would be wrong. So the Course is saying that since we all think we're separate, nothing that we think means anything. Nothing that we think really means anything. Because the only things that mean something are the things that come from love and the things that come from unity and the things that come from oneness. Those are the only things that matter. They're the truth.
Well, what about?
Yes, but.
Yeah.
Yes, but. Yes, but. Yes, but. Yes, but. All of those statements are just an attempt to defend the separation. I'm afraid to join. I need justification for not joining. I'm afraid to trust you all. I need justification for not trusting. I would trust you, but I'm afraid to. That's the yes, but. The yes, but is I don't want to step up in trust. So I need a reason not to trust you. Yes, but what about the guy who swindled me 2 weeks ago? You really want to know the answer?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That was your attempt to convince yourself that you can be swindled. That was your attempt to lose sight of your true identity as an innocent child of God. Those are all just tricks that we play to make us think the truth isn't true. Well, the truth couldn't be true because I tried to trust and I got swindled. So, yeah, you're afraid to trust, so you set up a situation where it looked like you were swindled so that you won't have to trust. That's what you did. You created your justification for suspicion because you are afraid to trust. If you're afraid of love, you've got to create a relationship with someone that's hard for you to love, because then you don't have to really step up. You don't really have to open your heart. You don't have to back up nothing you're saying with no action, as long as the person don't deserve it. So if I don't want to do something, all I got to do is always form relationships with people who justify me not doing it. Then I cannot do nothing and still feel cool. I can claim I'm this incredibly loving being who just haven't found the right person. If the right person showed up, it'll scare you out of your soul. Remember, sex is nothing.
You're right.
Yes, but you don't know what I did last night. Don't you tell me that wasn't nothing, you know. That's the purpose of pleasure. The purpose of pleasure is to convince you that you're the body that's feeling it. The purpose of pleasure is to convince you that this is all you are. That feels so good. You rub my shoulder. I must be this body that you're rubbing the shoulder of. See, pleasure has the same purpose as pain. Pain. Ow! I am this body that just felt that pain. Ooh, I am this body that just felt this pleasure. Ow! So the purpose of pleasure and pain is to convince you that the physical body is your only identity. So pleasure and pain are both the same. Shout out eating that piece of cake, it tastes so good. By the fifth piece, you say, same thing, it was the pleasure, now it's the pain. Pleasure and pain are the same. Anything that gives you pleasure is also something that can give you pain. You know that's true.
Yeah.
You know, relationships are a great example of that. They start out, just can't get enough of each other. You know what I'm saying? Person stick their foot up on the table while you're eating dinner and pick their toes. You go, isn't that cute? They about to love your toes. That's your big toe. You want some Jell-O on it. So you just, in the beginning, they can do no wrong. You know what I'm saying? Come back there about 6 months later, they stick their foot up there, you see a meat cleaver. What happened? The challenge I always had with respect to relationships was the same qualities that would attract a woman to me would always be the first ones they try to cut out the ones they got me. You know, they would say, oh, I love your openness and how you love everybody and how you extend everybody and you connect with everybody and, you know, you're just so wild, you're so free. And then the minute they get with me, then those things become threatening to specialness. Because as specialness, I want all the attention for myself to the exclusion of everybody else. So now I got to change what you are in order for me to be able to be with you. So then you end up in a relationship in which you cannot enter. Have you ever been in a relationship that you couldn't be in?
Yeah.
They wanted everything but who you were. The course calls that self-betrayal. And that whenever you betray yourself, you always feel guilty. Because feeling guilty is a self-betrayal. That's deep in there. Don't forget, you don't have to remember none of this or accept any of this. So I want you to forget most of what I've said when you leave.
Well, I can do that.
Yeah, how good are you all at that? You ought to go to that Earl Purvis class, right? Don't you tell people, well, what do you teach? Well, you just need to go. You can't describe it, you just have to come. Yeah, because our right minds are getting fed in the class. Of course, it's the same mind. But when we go out into the world, it's like speaking another language, so we have to go back into an insane frame of reference in order to make it so we think. And so, of course, it looked like what we talked about here did not even happen, because the part of your mind that's listening to me is not the part of your mind that you use most of the time. So when you go back out, you'll use the part of your mind that doesn't believe any of this, and it'll look like I never said anything. But each time you remember a little bit more, you take a little bit more with you when you go out, and one day the scale will tip, and this mind will be your predominant mind, and then the one that does crazy stuff will be the one that's popping up every now and then. Okay, that's my experience and experience of people that I know who've been also doing the work. Is that, yeah, sometimes the things happen that you wouldn't prefer to happen, but they don't. It's not like it used to be when it was just all the time it was something. Good, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? So now the course is telling us why that's so. It says it's so because we need to be, first rule number one, if you're going to be in your right mind, I'm not asking you to be on the lookout for everybody else's problem and what's wrong with everybody else and what everybody else is doing wrong. Okay? He says, now to the ego person, it is kind and right and good to point out errors and correct them. Can I just tell you a little bit about this mistake? I'm just so kind. It's right and good to do what? The fearful mind believes that it's all about pointing out errors and correcting errors. So their whole life is about, I'm focusing on my mistakes and I'm trying to correct them. I'm focusing on my mistakes and I'm trying to correct them. I'm focusing on my problem and I'm trying to correct it. A separated mind, this is what it focuses on. I got something that needs to be different for me to be happy. I got to be so kind and right and good. Let me point out your little error so it can be corrected. This makes perfect sense to the insane mind. Because the insane mind, the ego, is unaware of what errors are. So the truth is, we are not even aware of what mistakes are, and we are not even aware of what correction is. Now that's the deep. See, the Course in Miracles is saying, I know you think you know what your problem is, but let me help you correct your problem by telling you that you don't know what your problem is. Okay? You think you know what your problem is. Because to the ego mind, it's all about pointing out the problem and correcting it. So each one of us have made up problems that we think are the problem. Mm-hmm. We all have made up mistakes. The course is saying, now, if you want to be free, do you want to be free?
Yes.
Okay, the first step to going to freedom is to recognize you don't know what your problem is, and what you think your problem is not your problem. That's rule number one. Then he says rule number two is to understand that mistakes come from the ego. Mistakes come from you being separate. That mistakes come from your separated mind, right? And he says, and so the correction of your mistakes lies in the relinquishment of the way you think.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The correction of your mistake lies in the relinquishment of your false thinking. The letting go of the mistake lies in the letting go of the thinking that's creating it. Now, some of you may notice as I start to really just lay the truth on you through the course that you have a hard time staying conscious.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find that you just got. I mean, from my perspective, it's hilarious. I wish I could video it. Right. Sometimes, you know, some people just like. You know, but they're trying their damnedest to look like they're really here, you know. Do you know it is a natural, it's natural to respond to the truth with going asleep?
Yeah.
I say it again. Do you know that it's natural to respond to something that is opposite to the way you believe by going unconscious? That's a very normal reaction to new information. Because the part of you that is the ego, that does believe in its opinions, that does believe in its own answers, that does believe in its own plans, it's not going to want to listen to the part of the mind that says, that's the part of you that don't know nothing. So it tries to get you to go unconscious to the answer so that you won't get rid of the part of you that's creating your pain. The part of you that's creating your pain doesn't want you to hear how to get out of it. So it does it by trying to make you go to sleep and to go unconscious. But that doesn't make any difference because the part of you that brought you here is totally alert and awake, and it doesn't have nothing to do with your ego anyway. So the part that wants to go to sleep is not even the part that I'm teaching.
All right. Do you have this in a pill form?
It's called acid. I personally would not experiment with anything. Just to put everybody's mind at work at rest, I pretty much tried everything. I'm not one of these people that really cares that much about that, what comes out of the closet or what's been hidden that may be exposed to the light. You know what I'm saying? Simply because I will readily admit I have lived my life as an adventure, and I have explored and experimented in every single solitary way I ever felt like it. Okay? And I don't feel like there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not one of these people walking around trying to regret my past as if something happened in my past that didn't benefit me.
Good point.
Everything I experienced in my past benefited me. Even the stuff that wasn't always pleasant, it all benefited me. So why should I be ashamed of my past? My past is what has helped motivate me to try to be the loving person I'm attempting to express to you today. And I might do some other interviews. It's not like I did it and I'm going, well, that's true. I'm learning a lesson. I'm not going to do that again. No, I was like, I can't wait till the next time. Just get clear about where I'm coming from. I'm not one of these people, oh yes, I'm recovering from everything. Can't do anything now. I'm totally free. I have no choice but to believe in the truth. Because if it's not true, I'm going to hell. I've got a pretty big bet going on, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I'll be down there with you.
That's why I'm not worried about it.
Yeah.
You already got a red dress on. She know the hell dress code. Hold on, anybody that hasn't had a chance to sign up to my communication mailing list that need to, please. I know you'll be glad I'm not one of these people that worry you. You write your stuff down, you never get anything.
You need a lot of stuff, you'd be complaining, you know. I got
to unsubscribe
off of his list.
I got something today.
Well, I'm amazed because I didn't finish. Okay. Yeah, okay, I got you. All right, so I'm taking it slow because the poet says, read me slowly. I purposely take it really slow because you only need to get one line of it to transform your mind. Just one. Like if you walk out of here today, realizing that your job isn't to constantly point out other people's errors and correct them, you would have a much more restful day.
Something easier.
Yeah, it's easier for me to go through the day without trying to correct everybody than to go through the day trying to correct everybody. Any way you look at it, it's an easier day if I don't try to correct everybody. So the court says, errors of the ego and correctionalizing the relinquishment of the ego. So when you correct a brother, when you correct a person, you're telling them that they're wrong. That's why I'm correcting you. They may not be making no sense at the time. And it's certain that if they're speaking from their own ego, they won't be making any sense. So basically the court says, you've got two people carrying on a conversation that neither one of them is making any sense to each other. He calls it our communication level. I'm walking up to you with my judgments and opinions about what everything. You walk up to me with your judgments and opinions about everything. I'm interpreting everything according to my judgments and opinions. You're interpreting everything according to your judgment and interpretation. So how in the world are we really making any sense to each other when we're not using the same frame of reference? When I say I love you, I always have to come, like when I tell somebody I love them, I always have to follow it up with what I mean by that. Simply because most people interpret that as fearful, because most of the pain that they've experienced in life and betrayals in life have come through the people who said, I love you. So when you say I love you to the average person, it's just as easy to bring up fear in them as it brings up any kind of comfort in them. So the Course in Miracles says that love means appreciate. So when I say I love you, I'm saying I appreciate you. And so that's what I usually say, I love you and I appreciate you. Well, when I say love, I'm talking about I appreciate you. It doesn't mean I'm trying to get anything. It doesn't mean that I want anything. It doesn't mean that I need anything from you. It just means I appreciate you. And I've appreciated people so much they passed out. See, I love how everybody gives their own interpretations of what I say. Then I get a chance to know who we're going to lunch with. It narrows down the prospect. Because I want to go on with somebody that's like me. It saves time. Doesn't it? Yeah, think about how much time you wasted in relationships where you were trying to get somebody to join and connect with you. Wouldn't it have been just a lot easier for you to already have been on the same wavelength, knew that you wanted to connect and to connect? So how can I know that? Well, I know that by communicating. The more I communicate authentically to you, the more you reveal who can like kind of flow with me and who doesn't. It's really that easy. The Course says life is not complicated. The complication is a smokescreen to hide the simplicity of the answer. Complication is a smokescreen to hide the simplicity of the answer. So the more that complex problem that you got, the one you've been wrestling with for a long time, that's your main defense of your ego. That's the main way you keep your separated ego identity and fear going. And the part of you that wants to be separate and is afraid of love has to keep that problem going in order to keep its existence going. And every time you come to something like this, whether it's with me or anybody else, that you put more energy into your sane mind and moving toward tipping that scale, even though it looks like nothing drastic has happened as a result of coming here. There's more happening than you realize. All right. So it's already saying, you know, he says the court says the person may be making no sense at the time. At the time, it's certain that they're speaking from their ego. What? He will not be making sense. Your task is still to tell them that they're right. What? Your task is still to tell them that they are right. You don't tell them they are right verbally. I say it again. You do not, when they say something crazy and stupid, do not tell them that they are right. Verbally,
this is a correction. When you hear somebody saying something that you know is insane from your perspective, you tell them that they are right non-verbally. Non-verbally. You are right, you are right, you are right, you are right.
Now, what you're thinking is off the wall.
But you are right. He says the person needs correction at another level because their error is at another level. They need correction at the mind level because the error is always at the mind level. And so you practice healing at the mind level by nonverbal communication. There's a thing that I go to on Tuesday night called Gypsy Nation, which is like a spiritual community that's based on free-form dance and movement. And one of the rules, and which basically means there's nobody telling you how to dance. That you get a chance to dance, which means you get a chance to move however you move, and that be your dance. So you're not saying, well, I can't dance. Now, what you're saying is, you can't dance like me. If you're saying you can't dance like somebody you're looking at, you can dance if you can move. If you can move, can you move?
Yeah, okay.
All right, so you can dance if you're not judging it according to what you've learned in the past about what dancing is.
Yeah.
Right? So that means that everybody moves however they want to move, do whatever they want to do. So the point that I'm making is that it's nonverbal communication. And one of the agreements is that during the actual dance, there's no verbal communication, but you can communicate any kind of other way. You know, so somebody come up to you and they're dancing, then they might come up to you and greet you like...
That sounds fun.
Oh, it's off the hook. Then we get a chance afterwards to thank each other and get in circles. Anyway, it's Gypsy Nation. You can look it up on the web. Because you got to join and communicate some other way other than verbally. With that, spiritual awareness is not how much you can talk the truth. How much you can now have no physical body activity and just sit around and talk is not in and of itself spirituality. You can as much heal a disease through movement as you can through affirmation, as you can through medicine. That's why over in Africa they were always dancing around the fire. Mm-hmm. That stuff actually worked. But in our paradigm, we don't believe it, and so we don't see it. Because we make the intellect God in the West. If it can't be scientifically proven and intellectually explained, it has no validity. That's why we miss out on so much psychic and intuitive information that our inner self is trying to give us. Because we don't believe in that weird stuff. I'm too conscious to believe that it's possible for the universe to communicate with me in other ways other than the ways I've decided. Because I'm open-minded. We're hilarious. The Course says you'll be laughing all day long. When you get this, you just, from the daytime you wake up, you know, like I said the other day, you just wake up laughing. I went, wow, that's cool. You mean you just wake up, yeah, I don't even know why, I just wake up laughing. I just feel good, just wake up laughing. Wow. Could you imagine that, somebody being happy for no reason? You always have to have a reason. You have to give Westerners a reason. If you would allow yourself to feel happy, then the universe will begin to draw to you all of the things that you need to manifest. So you have to give us a reason. Oh, okay, well I'm having a good time tonight then.
That's a sort of purpose, you know.
I couldn't just be spontaneously happy. I'm an American. I shall not be happy without an SUV. I'm an American. You don't tell the person that they're right verbally if they're speaking foolishly. They need correction at another level because the error is at another level. That means they're right. Then the Course tells you why they're right. They're right because they're a son of God. They're right because they are a child of the Creator. You are right because you are a child of love. You are right because you are a child of God, the Creator. That's why you are right. Now, your ego is always wrong. Okay, the part of you that thinks it's separate is, so you don't have to, from this point forward, wonder about what a person's saying is right or wrong. If the person is speaking from the perspective that they are separate, everything they say to you is going to be wrong. From a truth perspective. Maybe not from an illusion perspective, but from a truth perspective, it's wrong. So the Course says, it really doesn't matter what you say or what you do. If you think you're separate from me, then I know that everything you're telling me is wrong. If you point, now this is the part I didn't like. You can, you all can hiss too. We can all hiss together. Let's practice a little practice hiss. The faithful husband in the whole thing. The Course says the way we got here in the first place is we remembered not to laugh. So it's the serious folk that go to hell. We're living where all serious souls exist.
You want to be serious? Well, I'm going to give your ass something to be serious about. So this is the serious soul world, where all the serious souls come. Why are you here?
Serious.
Everything is serious. My relationship is serious. My job, my everything is.
Oh, you one of them serious souls. Yeah. You remember not to laugh. Yeah. Now you're surrounded by stuff you don't laugh about. That's why they call it hell. The Course says, I want to break something to you, Earl. Because I read this entire book into a recorder years ago where it says that you can ask of the Holy Spirit. I said, Earl, you can ask of the, or Earl can ask of. So I got a personalized Course book. So what's so cool is that, you know, is to keep in mind that whatever you take to be the facts of your life are your invisible beliefs. The reason why they're invisible is that you take it for granted that the belief is true, so you don't even question it anymore. So now you're being controlled by invisible beliefs that you accept as facts that are wrong. They produce their own physical reality, so they prove to you that you're right about what you're wrong about.
Yeah.
That's big. That's why you cannot trust your lying eyes.
Yes.
I'm telling you, because the only thing your eyes witness to are the interpretations that you give everything. So your eyes are lovely liars. Your eyes are lovely. They just report to you, and then you are the one that gives the report its meaning. Microphone. Oh, really, this is a whatever the hell it is. Past learning, here it is in front of me. I take my past learning and go, that is a microphone, and it's not a very good one.
That's what we do everything.
We take whatever the hell it is, and then we give it a meaning, and then we judge it as good or bad. And the Course is saying, that means you don't know nothing. You don't really know nothing. All you know is the meanings you've given to everything. The book says, you don't really know what nothing is. You just know what's been reported and talked to you. And he says, well, you want to know how you can tell it's wrong? You're not happy. You don't feel fulfilled. You're not joyful. You're not trusting. You're not. That should be enough to let you know there's something rotten in Denmark. A miserable person can't be right.
Yeah.
A miserable person can't be right. Don't go to your friends who don't know how to have fun to learn how to party. Don't go to the brokest person you know to get financial advice. Don't go to the person who never has a relationship that has any peace to ask their opinion of yours. Go to the people who appear to have mastered the thing you are trying to master and ask them. And that's what this is. Like, oh, you know, like Jesus goes, you want to talk to me, the master? Well, who've already handled this, went through what you've been through, know all about the crucifixion, boy, and a bitch. So, we've all had the crucifixion.
crucifixion experience. Halloween.
Yeah.
Where you look like you did something really cool for somebody and they crucified you.
Mm-hmm.
I've had that as a teacher. You know, teachers always go through it. They'll go through that period where you just can't do no wrong. And then all of a sudden, everything you do is criticized and judged because the people feel threatened by something that you've said.
Yeah.
So they've got to invalidate you in order not to do the thing you just said that they know they ought to do. That's why they got so upset. So I'm the same as you. I got an ego like you. Everything you do, I do too. I don't want no pedestals, no Callaway, nowhere. Because the minute I'm up on the pedestal, it just gives everybody better aim.
Oh, I can see Earl really going there.
So now, this is where Earl is.
Isn't
that right? See, that's the thing. I hurt my knee when I put down on that thing. I hit that wood. And that's to make me think I'm a body.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make myself. I had a good moment. Right, Peter John?
Yeah.
Had a good time, right? What did I do? That little knee pain. I'm okay for that. You know what I'm saying? That's why the Corps tries to get us to understand that we have to see joy and happiness as ordinary. Ordinary. What we should be experiencing. We got to stop seeing a good day as something special and see a bad day as something special.
Yeah.
Because your days are ordinarily fulfilling and loving. I'm telling you, we got to switch it around.
Yeah.
We've got to get to the point that you think it's weird if you don't have a lot of people that appreciate you around you.
Yeah.
And when you're around people who really feel that way about themselves, it kind of startles you. Like, you know, I was paying a compliment to someone, and especially like a lot of times they're paying a compliment to a being in a female body. I noticed that they won't accept it very easily. You know, or be suspicious.
What are you saying? What you want? You want the Valley of Delight? No. So you'll say anything, you know. You say, that's not true about me.
But then when you say it to somebody, oh, you're a beautiful radiant being, you're so cool, they go, yeah, I know it.
That's true about me, you know, I really am.
And then your ego wants to judge that. And you'll go, oh, that's a little bit vain. Well, that's kind of goofy.
And then all of a sudden you realize, no, this is the kind of person I want to be around, because this is the person who will be saved because they feel complete. So they don't think anything is missing, so they don't have nothing to get. So they're going to be the one that's not jealous, not afraid, very giving, very sane.
You listen to someone who goes, whoa, you like somebody said something really cool to me. I said, you know, thank you for your correct perception. That's my standard answer.
Yeah, what you just said is right. If you are attracted to me, you must have a good judge of character, because I know I'm cool. So if somebody don't want to be with me, I go, ooh, they're such a bad judge of character. I'm glad I didn't get that phone number. You didn't realize how cool I am? Woo, I'm so glad you went the other way. You're somebody's bad karma. You know what I'm saying? We meet those people. So anyway, I'm going to stop here. But then there's one little thing I'm going to say before I go. But I'm going to remind me to continue with this section, because this section got some really cool stuff about correction. And I'd like to go further with you on this, because it really tells you how this is not correction. What is correction? And so we get into that. But what you've heard so far is very important. If you were just to walk out of here today and just a little bit less than usual, be trying to correct everybody. Now, if you see a child getting ready to run down the street, you know you're crazy if you don't try to stop him because you said, Earl said, I'm not supposed to correct. People do that kind of crazy reasoning. Well, are you saying that I shouldn't tell my little child that they're going out in front of a car? If I have to tell you that.
You know, you need correction. That's just what? The person trying to come up with a reason not to practice it. That's all it is. That's just, I'm trying to come up with a reason. Sometimes it's about understanding, but most of the time the Corps says it's about defending. Because the truth is, most of the day, you don't have to correct anybody. You just do it. I just said that one of the most freeing things that's going to happen on a spiritual path is when you really get in your gut that another person, what another person thinks of you is not your business. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when you really realize that it doesn't even matter what they think. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to need people to validate me, so I would say something and I'd need them to agree or say, oh, I understand that, or I agree with that. And it's like, well, really, the once it's true for you, you don't need validation anymore. I don't need validation from anybody in here to believe that the way that I start my car is to put the key in the ignition. When I was learning how to drive, I might ask somebody, well, how do you start your car? And then they need to give me validation by saying, well, you put it in this little hole right here and you turn it. All right? So once I learned it, though, right, then I don't need to get ready to leave here today and go, before y'all go, everybody come over here and validate that car. That I need to put my key in the ignition for my car to start. No, you know now. So when you know the truth, they're immediately what leaves is any need on your part for anybody to validate what you're doing. While you're learning, you constantly want validation of some type. And that's normal. So what you do is you put yourself around the people who will validate the direction that you've decided to go in. And you start to consciously, for a while, temporarily, as much as possible, separate yourself from those who are headed in another direction. You will be able to rejoin them from that space of strength later on. So you're not abandoning them. You're just allowing yourself to get centered in your new thought system. And what happens when people first get into new stuff is they go right to the people who would think they're the most insane to actually try to get validation. Because why? They're afraid and they want to stop. So they go right to the aunt who would say, you're part of a cult. Yeah. Ain't he black too? See, but I'm black too. I like this Barack Obama. Right. And then there's Barack your mama. And that's the name that I'm part of. Right. No, I'm a Democrat. And there's a Republican. The Republicans and the Democrats. It's so funny. Oh, God. Y'all are such a blessing. So thank you for sharing. We're going to have, you know what I'm saying about the movie today?
Yeah,
a couple things. Give me 2 minutes and then we can go back out into the lab. All right? Okay? Now, the first thing we want to keep in mind today is that as much as possible when we leave out, we are not going to think it's kind and right and good to just be trying to point out everybody's errors and correct them. So you're going to practice this week as much as you can not correcting anybody. That's our assignment. That means that when they're saying something and you don't just have to be, you'll know the situations that you need to step up. You will know those. But most of them are not the situations that you need to step up. So we're going to practice that. And then we're going to practice that this is going to be harder, though. And that's going to be the thought that I am right. Would you say that? I am right. Now, all of us want to be right, but when someone says, say I am right, then the part of us takes over and say, well, I don't know if I really want to be right. But I am right. You are right because you are a child of God. You are right because you are an unlimited spiritual being. You are right because you are love. So I want you to let me tell you as many good things that way as I can for about 2 minutes. Can you take it?
Yeah.
Can you take it?
Yeah.
Do you want people in your life that's telling you loving things about you?
Yeah.
I do too. So what we're going to do is we're going to practice being open and receptive to that, because I'm going to see if we can have a little experiment where I say cool stuff about you just over and over and over again, and you see if you can hear it.
All right.
All right? Okay, because we want to go out into the lab, and we want to have a good time this week. So we want to set peace. We want to have peace. Everybody else is in the state. That's not
not the kind of business that the Holy Spirit would have you maintain. You are not separate. You are right. You are a child of God. You are a child of light. Now, Wednesday prayer noon is my next class, 7 p.m. on Thursday. Now, here we go. You will now forget most of what you see y'all next time. Love you. Clothes are available.